It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you'd like to take your Bibles and turn to Mark's Gospel, and we are in Mark chapter 1 and verses 35 to 45. Mark chapter 1 and verses 35 to 45. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. And people were coming to him from every quarter. This is God's word. We're going to see he's looking at the life of Jesus from Mark's Gospel. And we come to this section, which is all about Jesus' priority in his ministry. You know, what was his priority? What was he here to do? What did he spend his time doing? What was his ministry all about? Well, there's three things I want us to see from this passage about Jesus' priority in ministry. He prayed, he preached, and he exchanged places. He prayed, he preached, he exchanged places. First of all, he prayed. Verse 35, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, the wilderness, and there he prayed. I think this tells us a number of things about prayer. First of all, it tells us that prayer is essential. You know, Jesus is arguably the most influential person who's ever lived. His life, his death, his resurrection have transformed the world. The ministry he came to do was crucial. His job was to save the world. And yet here we see Jesus praying. And if he needs to pray, then so do you and I. You know, he's a capable person. And we often think if we're capable of doing something, we don't need to pray. Why would you need God's help if you can do it yourself? He was a very capable person, and yet he prayed. And we see here that prayer must come first. You know, Jesus had a busy ministry. He's got a busy life. You know, everybody wants a piece of Jesus. We saw that last week. People are coming from everywhere to Jesus because he's just this wonder-working, miracle-working phenomenon. And yet, before he went out to do his ministry, he prayed. In fact, he gets up before dawn, when it's still really dark, and goes out into the wilderness by himself. Maybe he sets us a pattern for what we should be doing. You see, before he began his ministry, before his life, that day was busy with people, he prayed all by himself. Now, when we're busy, let's be honest, what's the first thing that goes? It's prayer. We say, well, I'm too busy to pray. I've got, you know, this to do and this to do and this to do. I can't spend my time praying. I remember reading about Albert Einstein, the great scientist, and he said he used to have every day 9 hours sleep. But if the following day he was going to do something really, really significant and important, he would have 10 or 11 hours sleep, because he saw sleep as the means to him being productive the following day. Well, that's Albert Einstein, a secular scientist. If you're going to be productive for Jesus, you need to pray. And the busier you are, the more you need to pray. In fact, that's what Jesus does. The busier he is, the more he prays. The more important the thing that he does, the more he prays. You know, if you've got an important meeting, you're probably going to get up earlier to prepare for it. Well, Jesus is saying here, or God is saying here, through the example of Jesus, if you've got something important to do, get up earlier to pray. Spend time by yourself. And do it first thing in the morning. You know, I'm not against people praying at night before they go to bed. That's a good thing to do. But as a friend of mine says, you're better off tuning the orchestra before the performance starts. But prayer isn't just essential. It shouldn't just come first. But prayer's about power. Jesus goes off by himself to pray 3 times in Mark's gospel. The first time he's here after a successful start to his ministry. And then he goes off to pray by himself at the end of Mark chapter 6 after he's fed 5,000 people. And then he prays by himself at the end of the gospel in the Garden of Gethsemane just before the cross. Each time he faces pressure, he faces a crisis. Here, it's what's my ministry about? Where am I going? Everyone wants a bit of me. In Mark chapter 6, people are thronging to him. He's just fed 5,000 people. They want to make him a king. And Jesus is like, that's not what I came here to do. And then, of course, in the Garden of Gethsemane, crisis point, the cross. Each time he needs God's help. Each time he needs power. And so he goes and prays. See, prayer is, what's prayer? Prayer is saying to God, I need your help. That's why often the posture for prayer is on our knees, because what we're saying is, I can't do this by myself. Would you help me? It's asking God for help. It's asking God for power. And that power comes through prayer. Prayer, you see, focuses our minds, not on ourselves, not even on what we've got to do, but it focuses our minds on God. It reminds us that he's our Father in heaven, that we are his children, who he cares for and loves and looks after. Prayer reminds us that this God, who is our Father, who's made the world, loves us as his children and wants what's best for us. And that knowledge should release joy in our hearts. And that's power. You know, every train needs an engine to pull it. Now, the bigger the train, the bigger the engine that's needed. And the steeper the gradient that the train has got to go up, the bigger the engine that's needed. Now, prayer is the engine for your life. The harder your life is, the busier your life is, the more you need to pray. The more power you need to get through. And if you don't look to God for help and power, you'll rely upon yourself. Now, when things are going well in life, you can coast. You know, when life is easy and everything's downhill, you're like, you can coast and you don't need to pray. But as soon as the gradient starts getting tough, if you've not been praying and looking to the Lord for help, you'll begin to struggle. because you'll have no power to keep going. See, prayer is about power, and we all need it. Jesus needed it. You and I need it as well. But the purpose of prayer is to help you deal with the situations that life throws at you. The purpose of prayer is to help you deal with the situations that life throws at you. In verses 36 and 37, Simon Peter, comes to Jesus and says, everybody is looking for you. Everybody is searching for you. Now, that's not a positive thing. It's a negative thing in Mark's gospel. In Mark's gospel, the people, the crowd, get in the way of Jesus' ministry. And here we have the potential for them to get in the way of Jesus' ministry. They're seeking for him. They're looking for him. Jesus is facing a popularity problem. The people want to try and control Jesus. He's become popular. And popularity is a problem because you can be controlled by the people that you're popular with. You can submit to them and their control and direction for your life. You can seek their approval. And so Jesus prays. And he prays because he doesn't want that. He's not bothered about being popular with people. He's bothered about completing and fulfilling the mission that his Father's given him. And so he prays. You see, what you're doing in prayer, when you pray, you're reminding yourself of just how much God loves you, how he's forgiven you your sins, how he sent his Son to die for you and wants what's best for you. When you pray, you remind yourself of those things, and that frees you. The knowledge that God loves you frees you, and it frees you from the approval of other people. It frees you from the disapproval of other people. It gives you power. Power to say yes when you need to say yes. Power to say no when you need to say no. Power to do the right thing. That's what Jesus needed. And so he prayed. Prayer is essential. It's the first thing we should be doing. It's about power, and it helps you deal with situations in life. That's why it's the first thing that Jesus did. But then we see the second thing that he did, and that is he didn't just pray, he preached. Verse 38. He said to them, let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is what I came to do. For that is what I came to do. We see here two things. First of all, the priority of preaching. When Jesus was baptized and commissioned by his Father and empowered by the Holy Spirit, the first thing he did after that was to preach. He says in verse 14 that Jesus preached the gospel of God and said, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. And now he reaffirms that. That's the first thing he does in Mark's gospel. And now here he reaffirms, that is what I'm doing. Lots of people are coming to Jesus for healing because he's healed a number of people, and there weren't the hospitals in those days like there are now. And so everybody wants to be made well. And Jesus says, I've come to preach, not to heal. And so I'm going to leave these crowds and these sick people, and I'm going to go to another town because I've got to preach there also. See, Jesus came to be a preacher. That's what he was doing. And if Jesus' priority is to preach the gospel, then that should be our priority as well. And one way we do that is by preaching Sunday by Sunday in the morning and in the evening. We make the preaching God's word a priority. We spend half an hour in the morning and half an hour in an evening looking at God's word, proclaiming God's words, talking about God's love, saying how great God is and what he's done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ, and his death on the cross and his resurrection that brings us life. We talk about that Sunday by Sunday. But we're all supposed to do it at other times as well. In small groups. In one-to-ones. With our neighbours. With our colleagues at work. With our friends. We're to gossip the gospel. It's a form of preaching. Proclaiming. Sharing. The good news of Jesus Christ. And we need to remind ourselves of this because that's Jesus' priority. That's the priority of his followers as well. We are so often lose sight of it in the busyness of life. Jesus could easily have lost sight of it, but he didn't. This is what I've been called to do. This is what I've come to do. This is what we have come to do, to spread a passion for Jesus Christ in Manchester, the UK, and the world. You see, preaching is so often neglected. It's neglected, I think, because we know when we need physical help. You know when your body's not working properly, you know, and we get bothered about it. And so we go to the doctors, or we go to A&E, or we go to a friend and say, what should I do? I feel sick. We know when we need physical help. We know when we need social help. This relationship with this person's broken, or I need help with my children, or how do I look after my elderly parents? But we don't often think that we need spiritual help. But we do. We need spiritual help, as well as physical help and social help. And that's what Jesus came to help us with. That's what we're reminded when we proclaim the good news, that we need to be forgiven, that we need to repent of our sins, that we need to put our trust in Jesus Christ. And we need to think about that because Jesus came to tell us about it. Jesus didn't come to give people their best life now. If he had, he'd have been healing people left, right, and center and trying to make things good here on earth. But he said, no, I've got to come and preach. Because there is a time for healing, but primarily that time for healing is in the future. Jesus does heal people, and we'll come to that in a second. And we can help people with their needs now. We want to make life better for people. But there's a time for healing, and that ultimate time for healing is in the future, where everything will be restored. Where there won't be sickness, and there won't be suffering, and there won't be death. But that will only be for those who have heard this good news and believe the good news and put their trust in Jesus Christ. And so we need to pass on that good news. Pass it on through preaching. Pass it on through teaching. Pass it on through one-to-ones. Pass it on through sharing the news with our neighbours. By being people who listen to God's word ourselves. We need to fill our lives with God's word so that we have something to share with other people. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there's a second thing we need to think about then. If that's Jesus' priority, what's the place of social concern and healing and looking after people? Because he does it. You know, should we do it? You know, if Jesus is focused on preaching the gospel, and we're supposed to be focused on preaching the gospel, what about people's physical needs and social needs? Should we be bothered about those? My answer is this. As we make preaching the gospel our priority, so we will help people in every way, spiritually, physically, socially. That's what we see here in verses 40 to 45. Jesus here meets a leper. He's just said, my priority is preaching the gospel. I need to go to another place to do that. And then straight away, he meets a leper. Or we're told about him meeting a leper. Leprosy in the first century was a general term for lots of skin diseases. It was awful. And for a Jewish person to have leprosy, it was like a walking death because it affected them physically. You know, the skin would dry up and depending on the type of leprosy, bits of their body would fall off. It was awful. It was painful. No cure. It affected them, though, socially. People wouldn't come and touch them and be with them, and they have to be by themselves because people didn't want to be infected. And it affected them spiritually. There are laws in the Old Testament, you can read about it in Leviticus 13, that stipulated that if you had leprosy, you couldn't come into the temple. You were unclean. You couldn't come into the presence of God. And so people with leprosy were, as it were, walking dead. They were physically, socially, spiritually on the outside, excluded. Now, this leper here breaks laws, he breaks customs, and he comes to Jesus. And he kneels down just in front of Jesus, and he wants healing. He says, "If you will, you can make me clean. Will you do this, Jesus?" He knows Jesus can. He wants Jesus to do it. And what does Jesus do? He says, moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said, "I will be clean." Now, this is incredible. It's incredible because you shouldn't touch a leper. Otherwise, you yourself will become unclean, according to the Old Testament laws. But it's incredible for this reason. Jesus didn't need to touch the leper. Jesus healed people just through a word. He didn't even need to be in the presence of the leper. There's examples in the gospel where he heals people at a distance. And yet here, Jesus allows the leper to come and actually touches him and heals him. Why does he do that? Why did you do that, Jesus? Because he touches him out of pity, out of compassion. See, after years and years of no human contact, his first experience of human contact is Jesus. And immediately what happens? Well, Jesus doesn't get contaminated by the leprosy. He doesn't become unclean. But power goes out of Jesus to contaminate this man and to clean him up. Immediately, we're told, the leprosy left him and he was made clean. He's made clean in a moment, instantly. He's made clean physically. He's made clean, therefore, socially. And he's made clean spiritually as well. All through the touch of Jesus. That's why Jesus says, straight away, he says, "Go away," verse 43, "say nothing to anyone, but show yourself to the priests and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." Why does Jesus do that? Why does he send him away straight away? Because he's concerned about the whole person. He's healed him physically, and he says, "Great, I've healed you physically. I want you to be restored socially as well. And spiritually, so you can enter the temple. I want the priest to pronounce that you are now clean. You can come into you can come into contact with other people. You can come into the presence of God as well. And I want them I want that to be demonstrated and proved for everyone to see." See, Jesus is concerned about the whole of us. He's concerned about us physically and socially, as well as spiritually. So, what is the relationship then between preaching and social and physical needs and issues that we have? Well, just this. When you put Jesus at the center, out of that center will flow concern for other people, compassion for other people. In other words, when you put Jesus at the center, then you'll want to help people in every way, socially, physically, spiritually. You'll want to help people be drawn to Jesus. You want to help people know his love. You see, when you put the gospel at the center of your life, when you put the gospel at the center of the life of a church, out of that center will flow social concern. Sometimes it'll work the other way. You'll be helping people physically, helping people socially. And that will lead people to the center, which is Jesus himself. And when you know Jesus' love for yourself, you'll want to move out in love. You see, if you put the gospel at the center and the preaching of the gospel at the center of your life and at the center of church life, you will help people with their physical needs and social needs. Because you will be a person of love and you'll want them to experience that person of love. See, that's why we run a food bank here at church. We don't run it primarily because we want people's physical needs to be met. We do want to meet people's physical needs, but we do it because we've had all our needs met in Christ. And we want to express that by putting on a food bank to help people with their physical needs. And we do that because we want people to be drawn to the one who can meet all their needs, that is Jesus Christ himself. And so at the food bank, we want to talk to people about Jesus and say, well, we want to help you be fed physically, but we want you to be helped, fed spiritually, in every way. You see, Jesus is the one who does this. You see, if you put Jesus at the center and preaching about Jesus at the center, you will move out in social concern. You will move out in love. You will want to meet people's needs. If you don't put Jesus at the center, then it will be hard to maintain a consistent love for other people. You'll get bored, or you'll get tired when they mourn and they complain, or you'll think it has to rely upon you to do all these things. Whereas it's actually Jesus who brings the ultimate healing. So there's a final thing that I want us to see, and that is this. He exchanged places. He prayed, he preached, he exchanged places. After the leper was healed, Jesus gives him this strong warning. He says, verse 43, he sternly charged him and sent him away at once. Sternly charged him to do what? Well, not to speak. And then we're told, Jesus doesn't want this leper going around telling people about himself. Why? Well, we're told in verse 45, the leper went out and began to talk freely about Jesus and to spread the news. Isn't that a good thing? Well, not really. So that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. You see, you think, isn't the leper doing a good thing by going out telling people about Jesus? Well, no. Because the problem is, this leper doesn't see the full picture of who Jesus is and what he's come to do to die on a cross. He sees a bit of it, but not the full picture. And so Jesus is guarding against a misunderstanding of his identity. You see, the leper goes out, tells people that Jesus is a healer, and he has healed him. And what's the problem? Everybody wants a bit of this healing miracle worker. And so he can't proclaim the gospel, which he's called to do. And so he now has to go on the outside. You see, the leper was on the outside, but now Jesus is on the outside. The leper was in the wilderness, and now Jesus is in the wilderness. The leper was burdened with his leprosy, now Jesus is burdened. See, they've exchanged places. The leper, who was unclean and excluded and alone, is now with the people. And Jesus, who was clean, who was with the people, is now isolated. And that's just a picture of what Jesus has come to do for you and me. See, we all come to Jesus in the same way as this leper. We're all unclean. The stuff we've done in our lives, the stuff we've said, the stuff we've thought, makes us unclean. It makes us dirty. It makes us people who can't approach a clean and a holy God. We're all lepers. You might not want to think of yourself as a leper, But that's what we are by nature. We're unclean. You see, we're unclean and we cannot come into God's presence. And yet Jesus has come for us. He's come to make us, the unclean, clean. And how has he done that? By taking that uncleanness on himself. My favorite verse, probably in the whole of the Bible, is 2 Corinthians 5:21, where we're told that Jesus was made sin for us, even though he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He became unrighteous so we could become righteous. He became unclean so you and I could become clean. He lost his relationship with his Father in some way at the cross so that you and I could be brought back into relationship with God and have him as our Father. See, Jesus swapped places with you and me. And when you see that, it moves you. It moves you to pray. You want to come into the presence of your Father because Jesus has made that possible. It moves you to want to tell others about him. This is what Jesus Christ has done for me. He can do that for you. He moves you with compassion to help people in their need because Jesus has helped you in your need. See, what's Jesus' priority? It's to pray. It's to preach. It's to exchange places and move out in love for those who are unclean. Let's do the same. Let me pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, for our wonderful Savior. And we thank you that he has saved us completely, entirely. That through his stripes, we are healed. Lord, help us to proclaim that message and live that message and share it with others. Help us to make it a priority in our lives. Help us to keep it a priority in our church. And Lord, as we do that, help us to be people who pray. May we pray that this message goes out here in our community, goes out across the UK, and goes out across the world as well. Help us to do that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to move to time of prayer now, and it'd be great to pray on the back.